And brethren, I have entitled these remarks, Ask of Me. Brethren, let us consider the following words of our Lord Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth come. Let him that is athirst come. What we notice is that invitation is the primary method our Lord uses to draw humans to God. And for this invitation to be attractive, it must appeal to a person by satisfying one of their needs. The human need that Jesus appeals to is the desire to have a relationship with God. A brother in our class shared a thought he had heard that many people are walking around with a God-sized hole in their hearts. And how true that is. We've all met dissatisfied people who want something more out of life, but they don't know what it is. They don't realize that it is only God that can fill that void inside of them. During our Lord's earthly ministry, each miracle, each discussion, each interaction was designed to lay the groundwork for that invitation to be issued. From this perspective, we would like to examine Jesus' discussion with the Samaritan woman, which is found in the fourth chapter of John. Jesus is alone sitting by Jacob's well. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, Give me a drink. The Samaritan woman said to him, How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Now, there is nothing polite or courteous about her response. You can just feel the spirit of combativeness as she draws attention to the animosity between Jews and Samaritans. But Jesus disarms her by ignoring her verbal jab. Instead, he takes the conversation in a different direction, to the spiritual. He issues two challenges. Jesus answered her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, Give me a drink. That is challenge number one. He wants her to recognize who he really is. And for challenge number two, he says, You would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus wants her to express her need and desire for the living water. Jesus' response was so different from what she was expecting that she was intrigued. He had appealed to her better self. We notice a bit of respect in her response. She addresses him politely. The woman said to him, Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? But her mind is still on the earthly, and she still has that skepticism, that hard shell that she cannot break free from, as she says with a touch of sarcasm, Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well? Again, Jesus disarms her by ignoring her verbal barb and responds on a spiritual level to her earthly question. He offers her something she does not quite know she needs. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." We can feel that the attitude of the woman has changed. There is no more combativeness, and there is no more sarcasm, as with deepening respect, she says, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Well, she has fulfilled part of the challenge by asking for living water, but she is still thinking on the earthly level. She is still thinking of literal water. And Jesus, of course, is speaking of the spiritual living water, himself. So while she gave the answer that Jesus was looking for, it wasn't on the level he was looking for. In order for her to rise to that level and meet the second challenge, which is to recognize Jesus for what he is, Jesus asks a leading question by referring to a knowledge of her personal life. Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." And this causes her to recognize one aspect of who Jesus is. She says, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet." Now let's stop for a moment and think what would be in the mind of a Samaritan when they call someone a prophet. The Samaritans only accepted the first 5 books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. What those books relate about prophets is how to discern a true prophet from a false prophet. A true prophet of God speaks the words of God so that what the prophet speaks must be true. So at minimum, because what Jesus said about her husbands was true, she concluded that Jesus was a real prophet and that he would speak the words that God would tell him. Consequently, she wants to take advantage of the situation of having a true prophet next to her. So she asks the burning question in her mind, who has the correct understanding of the law, the Samaritans or the Jews? She says, "Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, Mount Gerizim, where the Samaritan temple used to stand. But you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." With this question, we can see the spiritual side of this woman's character and why Jesus felt that she would have the ability to understand who he really was. This question reveals her true inner self as one seeking after God. And Jesus answers her simply that the Jews have the truth. Salvation is of the Jews. But he also introduces something new. Jesus says, "The hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. The hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." God now wants people not to worship him in a particular place, but with the heart. The formalities and rituals of law are to give way to the abstract concept of worshiping God in your mind and heart. Her response to Jesus is, I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Well, why does this new revelation of worship cause the woman to introduce the topic of the Messiah? First, once again, let's stop and ask ourselves, what was the Samaritan concept of Messiah? It wasn't the kingly Davidic Messiah of Psalms and prophecy, because that wasn't part of their scriptures. Instead, it was the prophet like unto Moses, as found in Deuteronomy 18:18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, or Moses. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Moses introduced a new and better way to worship God through the law covenant that was given to him in Revelation on the mountain. Jesus, too, had just spoken true words about her life. And Jesus had just introduced a new form of worship to her. When looked at through the lens of spiritual understanding, which the woman finally had achieved, Jesus seemed to fit all of the qualifications of the Messiah as she knew them. Jesus had not brought up concepts that she did not have. Instead, he laid the groundwork of her level of belief so that she could be issued the invitation. So the evidence that the woman had finally risen to the spiritual level was when she introduced the topic of Messiah. And so Jesus says to her, I am he. She goes back to her village, and she invites all of the people to come and see this man who told her everything she's done, and she's more than half convinced that he is the Messiah. Jesus stayed in that village for 2 days, speaking with the Samaritans. And we read, and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you have said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves. And dear brethren, what an encouragement this is to us. The Lord's methods are gentle and persuasive. Let us emulate this method in our interactions with all those who are seeking after God. Let us meet others at their level and guide them to the higher levels of light that we have been so blessed to receive.